Hello and welcome to Humans Exhaust Me, a show caused by our current world and everything in it. I'm Biz Paul, I'm here in the UK, and somewhere in the United States of America, it's Felicia Jones.
Hey Paul, I'm in Mesa Verde National Park. So I'm in Colorado, back in the home state.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, how nice
for you. It is snowing. Yay.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because we're up in the mountains now.
It's May.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Colorado, there you go.
Lovely.
We have so much to talk about, Paul. We can't do our normal chit chat. Buying
no,
time.
Let's go.
let's get straight to it.
Okay, quick updates. First of all, this is like one of those like speed power stand up meetings that you have.
I know.
Like,
do we have to tell people what we're going to talk about before we get to all of it, so they'll keep listening?
Okay. I don't know. Maybe we should.
Right? Okay.
I think our fans just go with it, right?
Okay.
They trust us.
Okay.
So, okay. Quick update. I mentioned it last week. So last Thursday, there were some elections in the UK. There were local elections. There were elections for police and crime commissioners. There were elections for mayors in the, or mayors, depending on how you say it.
Mayors.
in various parts of the UK, right? So basically, the ruling party, the Conservatives, were annihilated, as predicted. Fascinating. Great to see, as far as I'm concerned. However, what that does mean is that there's no chance of a general election anytime soon, because it's quite clear that the Conservatives would be literally annihilated. So that's kind of disappointing. On the one hand, we'll see. We're thinking now it's probably going to be October, which, you know, is annoying. Also, quick one on Rwanda. Right. We've now shipped the first, well, someone volunteered. We talked about this last week. Someone volunteered to go to Rwanda so the Conservative government can say, we got someone to Rwanda. That person has gone missing in Rwanda.
Okay.
They're on their way back.
They probably went to Australia instead.
Yeah, probably. So that's it. How about you? Can you give us an update on the book? I'm interested to learn what you've learned in this book.
What's the name of the book? It's called The New Cold Wars. There's so much. For, like I said last week, live in ignorant bliss, because the moment you read this, your world is going to be too rocked. And so far, I am in the reason why Taiwan is so important. They are like the chip manufacturer of the world, and everybody wants them. And people want to destroy them at the same time just because they can, but nobody can because they need them. It's now in the parts of the book about technology, about who owns everything, and how a lot of Western countries, the United States, definitely, basically everybody kind of got complacent after World War II. I'm like, hey, we did our thing. We got the best innovation, and we're still operating off of World War II and Vietnam era type stuff. Whereas China has been like, they've been doing it for a long time. And we in the West, particularly in the United States, we have let private industry take over technology, and that is problematic. And so, you know, it's talking about how when they went into Ukraine, they had to start using Starlink, you know, and Mr. Musk is playing both sides of all situations. So he gets to decide, you know, when he heard that if Ukraine did this, Russia might attack back with nuclear weapons. So he gets to decide who gets what access to satellites. So we're kind of in this part of the book of who owns what. Does the military, do governments own anything? And the role that private industry plays in all of this. And I mean, I've been reading so much, so it's that's just like a little piece of everything. But there is it is kind of hard trying to read this book and then see the world as normal again. There's so many things that are going on behind the scenes that we don't know as just regular citizens, that, you know, all of these presidents, the good and the bad ones, that how they keep us from like being annihilated, but also walk a very thin line that we will be annihilated at the same time. So, and they work really hard. I mean, I guess you got to even people who didn't like Trump and his administration, there were a lot of people behind the scenes that was making sure that we didn't die. The president is also, or 45 was definitely a distraction. And he doesn't stay on task very well. So That'd be interesting. And for those of you who are stans of him, he is in trial today. And I think Stormy Daniels is about to get on trial and testify against him because that's his hush money case with this adult sex worker person.
She is on as we speak, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. So that's your presidential nominee right now. So the book is really good. I highly recommend people reading it. And it's just so much going on in the world that when we get back to like our basic lives here, it all plays into everything. You know, Russia doing tons of hacking, China doing all kinds of spying here. The things that I'm pretty sure the United States have done in all these other countries, it's just that we kind of seem to have gotten a little lazy on it. And they are playing a different game when we're playing the democracy game, democracy and diplomacy. And they're playing the watch me. I want my stuff back. That's it. And Putin crazy.
One thing I've kind of started to think really is less about the democracy side, but more about the capitalism side, because, you know, when you've got Western governments privatizing core facilities, core things that keep us safe, like, you know, you mentioned like Starlink and internet, but, you know, you've also got things like NASA basically outsourcing rockets and taking people to the space station and things like that. It's all private companies and they can do what they want.
It costs us a lot of money to do that innovation. And then when private industry was able to do it, it seems like a lot of countries took their foot off the gas and like, okay, you do it. We'll call you if we ever need it. Or I think it's the complacency of thinking that everything was great. That's the thing. Europe, they were like, everybody in Europe was like, everything's fine. Nobody's going to do anything. We won the war. Ha, 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 ha. Everybody wants to be like us. And then it's just
take our foot off the gas.
Yeah. And then now it's like, okay, we're kind of scared now. And the private industry has just been innovating. And that is one of the issues that was brought up in the book is that everybody has access to this stuff now. It's not just United States or Britain or Ukraine has Starlink. Everybody has Starlink. Everybody has satellite footage. Everybody does it. So it's like, how do these governments kind of take a little bit of that back? When you and I, if we are on a good night with a couple of drinks, we can sit up here and break into somebody's satellite and start maneuvering people around. So it's just a fascinating place we are in. And I definitely, we'll have to do this for another show. I have a very different opinion of these presidents now. And not necessarily different, but I kind of understand why they do what they do. That's a hard
There'll one. Be so much that we don't know. And what does it say about things like interference with Western societies, whether that's from China or Russia? Because we've got a bit of a cyber attack or have had a bit of a cyber attack going on with, I think it was like MI5 or the Ministry of Defense or something, where that's been linked to China, obviously.
That's the new war.
They've been doing...
The new war. I mean, it's been going on for years. Unfortunately for us, we find out 3 or 5 years later, but that's the new war. So, and that's how they flex their ability to break into power grids, governments and things like that. So, and with more information out there in the world, it's going to be even more of it. I mean, a lot more of it is going on than what we know about, but that is the new war these days.
So we had, where I live in Leicester, a cyber attack recently where it ended up with the streetlights being permanently on. I was thinking that's kind of like an interesting thing to do, like to cost us money. Like do something like, it's like a soft cyber attack. Instead of just like taking the infrastructure down, they'll do something that costs us so much money that we go bankrupt or something like that. I thought it was quite interesting.
It's probably just a flex and a distraction to something else that's going on. So who really knows what's happening when they are distracting you with one thing and doing something else? So that is the new war, y'all. Hope we are ready for it. I don't think we are.
Well, we're not ready for
no,
it.
And we're not.
I think the thing is, people aren't aware of what goes on. So I witnessed something over the last few days, which I think is quite interesting from I've not seen this before, but I've heard about it kind of thing. So I watch a lot of TikTok. I do. I'm sorry. Not sorry. And one of the things I watch is a live stream with regular updates on the Ukraine war. Mm-hmm. And there's often a lot of Russian trolls in there, and they're like, yeah. Oh, there's a troll. Let's kick him out and stuff like that. You would kind of expect that. Another thing, Russia is banned from many things. It's currently banned from Eurovision, of mm-hmm. all things, has been since 2022. It's Eurovision week this week. And it's, you know, Eurovision used to be like you watched it on the show on the Saturday and that was it. Now it's obviously social media, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Right?
You know exactly what's happening beforehand. So I saw something on TikTok, which was about the UK's artist, Ollie Alexander. He is gay. He is very upfront. He has always sung about him and his boy. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. not like someone singing about girls when they go, whatever, like
yeah.
this, right? So, like, he's always been out and all the rest of it. His performance is raunchy. It is really raunchy. There's no getting away with it. There's like naked, not half naked box, you know, people boxing and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, right? It is what it is. Very Eurovision, actually, as it turns out. But, you know, you see clips of things going on. And I was looking at the comments because I was like, oh, blimey, that's something else. And in the comments was like these very similar comments. Oh, that's great, but like, I can't watch it with my grandma. Or that's great, but I can't watch it with children. Oh, that's great. I can't watch it with my parents. And I was like, that is, it's all the same. That's coordinated, or it's automated, or it is what it is, right? Thought nothing of it. Then, you know, how you see like the same clips, or you watch one thing and then you see more of it. Another clip came on a couple of days later, exactly the same comments. And I was like, aha, aha, that is definitely a thing. Now, you know, I'm not sure what they're trying to do, like whether they're just trying to, whether it's a flex or to, I mean, Eurovision is not the most important thing in the world. I'm sure it is to some people. So, but I just thought it was a really interesting thing. I just wondered from the book that you're reading, whether it seems like that's part of their operation to kind of pick things that are not direct targets, soft targets, and sow the discontent within that, to sow doubt,
yes.
to get people to go, yes, this is outrageous. It's men over men and all this. Do you know what I mean? Like, is that what they're trying to do?
The liberalism and the degradation from their point of view of the West is definitely a power play that they have. And that is a part of their media propaganda of like, you don't want to live Western world. They have abandoned their morals. They're abandoned living an Orthodox Christian life. They also use, you know, like even for United States, like even with racism, like they don't even treat their own people well. Look at them, you know. So these are all being used for their people to say the West keeps pushing things on us. We don't want to live that life. So it's all this big thing. And I sound like, I swear, I feel like I sound like a conspiracy theory person, but but I'm not. It's just that because we are so global, it's coming from all angles, and they are using every advantage that they can to make us not look good.
So I can understand that from their perspective, right? Because they are people, you know, making propaganda for their society. And obviously in Russia, they have lots of anti-LGBTQ
yes.
laws. And so I kind of see that if they're talking to their people, what do you think is the benefit to them of making comments or infiltrating our side of things? Is it just so similar doubt into our minds about what our society is in the hope that we will do something about it or weaken it, or so they can, what do you think they're,
I mean, it's just distraction. It's just distraction.
As in distracting us from
yeah, it's distracting
something that's going to go on
to pay attention to to not pay attention to the real things, but also just to kind of say how easy we are. We are easily distracted, and you know, you're spending your time on social media, might as well use it to their advantage or to our advantage. So this is, if I'm correct, I worked on a project when I worked for the Navy. It was a psychological warfare, psychological PSYOP. So psychological operations, kind of a think tank, and things that you could do to encourage people to think a certain way. And, and this might be one of their psychological operations things where, everybody is so open on social media. I mean, you see the dumpster fire that is Twitter X. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to get people all hot and bothered to move in a certain direction or to believe something that's not true. So
here's something else then. So that sounds reasonable and very similar to Cold War tactics. And of course,
yes,
Putin is very much into, like, let's go back to the Cold War and the Soviet Union. I can recognize that. My concern would be, and maybe this is where they're going with it, a different demographic who may not have experienced that may not see that's what's being done. Or do you think am I just being a boomer?
They, of course, we don't see it. Even the demographics now, we don't see it even as adults and not just young people. We don't see, you know, you experience what happened with Brexit and Facebook and the 2016 elections and just simple things that can go from 0 to 300 in an instant. And I'm going to segue because we got to talk about rap battles, because I think this is a perfect time to kind of mention this. So we're not going to go deep into the rap battles, but for those of you who are over the age of 20, I'm going to mention some names because I am so out of the hip hop game, Paul. I feel so old.
I'm surprised, actually. I thought you were up to date with it.
Yeah, sure. You heard my
playlist. You're going to do better than me anyway.
You heard my playlist. It's like stuck in 1990.
Middle-aged black woman, remember?
Middle-aged black woman, Janet Jackson. that's where I'm living these days. But so this rap battle is between Kendrick Lamar, who's a really good hip-hop artist, and Drake, who is a Canadian artist who has gotten into the world of hip-hop. And it's kind of been a battle between Kendrick saying, Drake, you have stolen our culture. You are not a Black American. You're not American. And you're doing things that you're just trying to make money off of. And Kendrick was like, nah, man, I'm the greatest. You know, Kendrick has also accused Drake of being a pedophile. And people have, Paul, it's deep now. Drake has accused Kendrick of being a wife beater. And then, of course, you know, the social medias have gotten, you know, Drake's little fans have stayed the same age while he's gotten older. You know, read into that what you want. I mean, and it just goes deep, and people have put all kinds of meanings on it and things like that, to the point where they have been like, Kendrick released something 2 days, 24 hours later, Drake released something. 10 minutes later, Kendrick released something. So we assume
released what? Like track?
Yeah, tracks, music. Yeah.
Okay.
Drops. They drop some music.
Drop. Yes. They drop the track. They don't release it. They drop it. Yeah.
And, you know, so we are assuming there's a mole in Drake's world. And the last one, Kendrick wrote a letter to his kid saying, your dad is not a good person. Telling all the celebrities that hang around with Drake, keep your daughters away from him. It's really bad, Paul. It's really bad.
Oh, wow.
But where it has gotten interesting, and how I'm going to tie this back into Russia. with me, people. There's a young guy named Metro Boomin. And for those of you who are age, these are people, trust me, I had to do a lot of reading to figure out who the hell these kids are talking about. Metro Boomin is a producer. He makes beats. So that's what you do now. You make beats and you sell your beats. Somehow Drake has pissed off the entire hip hop community and nobody likes him. And
why?
I think it has to do a lot about stealing the culture, of profiting off of a culture that you don't belong to, and colonizing culture. It's a whole deepness to it. But Mr. Metro Boomin obviously has some beef with Drake as well. So he dropped a beat on SoundCloud and told the kids, I'll give $10,000 to anyone to the best version of using this beat. Now this beat, and you got to use the hashtag BBL Drizzy. So let's talk about BBL Drizzy. So a BBL is a Brazilian butt lift, Paul. I know you know all about these, right?
I mean, I'm always up to date with these things, yeah.
So, and Drizzy is Drake's other little stage name. And the accusations around is that Drake has gotten a BBL because he was doing these waist trainers and he's on Ozempic because he wants to lose weight. All this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, So the track is BBL Drizzy. And the kids have taken the tracks and started making their own versions. And some have started attacking Drake. Now, where this is kind of going full circle for me is that some of these lyrics are very talented, but somehow this one person has given permission to the world to use this beat to attack one man. And it is huge. I mean, Paul, they got people are rapping in French and in Taiwan against Drake on this BBL Drizzy thing. Oh, it's bad. It's just like, I mean, at first it's like, it's funny as hell. Then it's just like, oh my gosh, this is how fast the internet works. This is how fast you crowdsource to hate on a person that you've never met before in your life. So now we have 11-year-olds up to adults just throwing all kinds of hate on Drake. And it has nothing to do with Kendrick Lamar anymore, but how fast it has gone has surprised me. And one, how quick these people can come up with these rap lyrics. It would take me like 3 years to come up with like a 10-second rap lyric.
Hang on. So they hear something from one artist, they take a dislike to it, or they think they need to issue a riposte to it. They create something in their studio at home or on their phone or whatever, and they like release it. They drop it. Sorry.
Yeah.
They drop it
yes.
on Spotify like yes. the next day. And that's going back and forth, and they're having this battle live on Spotify.
Well, okay, there's two different things. So there's the battle between Drake and Kendrick Lamar, but Metro Boomin dropped a beat that said, hey, anybody who wants to use it, go for it. $10,000 for the best one. So it's like a side beef going on. So now you have all these kids jumping in. And part of me was like, it is a fascinating thing on how fast the internet works. How fast you can tap into the generation, the young generation, to go like, hey, go at it. You know, when you plant this one seed, here's one beat that has now been used for probably close to hundreds of thousands of songs now with their own version of kind of a diss track to this one man. And people are hating on this one man because of this beat. I mean, it started off as between two adults, Drake and Kendrick.
Yeah.
Granted,
yeah.
They're not putting out, I mean, it's gotten crazy. Because supposedly there's a shooting at Drake's house this morning in Toronto. I got to go check out the news and see what's going on there. But it also kind of...
Related?
Huh?
Related?
Don't know.
Related to this?
Don't know.
Oh my God.
Don't know. That was it. It's crazy. But I was just looking at the idea of bully culture. And... is it any different than you sitting around getting beat up and then everybody else jumping in that had nothing to do with it, taking a lick? And I was just like, I don't know if this is the way we want to go in the future, where we can manipulate one piece of content that quick, that fast with a generation. And
yeah,
and I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's a rough correlation between Russia, but it kind of goes back to the power of how information, bad, good, entertaining, and that's the other thing, is entertaining information goes around that fast, all because of one person that's not really directly related to the thing that's going on. So it's just fascinating what's been going on just in a matter of like 36 hours, 72 yeah. hours of this whole little rap beef over the weekend. And then now all the kids are involved in it. So when we're talking about information moving fast and for whatever reason, I mean, I think it's just like you said, and you know, it's a distraction. It gets us all involved because we think it's cute. It has a beat. We can dance to it, you know. But it really is probably doing more harm than what it should be doing, because we have just kind of given permission to go all in on bully culture, at least for me. I don't know how you would see it.
Well, it is kind of like that. It's like in disguise, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's like you say, it's like, there's the if you look beneath the surface of the beat and the track and the music, whatever, and you just concentrate on the substance of what's being said, then sure, it's bullying. I do find this idea of what's deliberate, what is an accidental consequence of something else. So we could look at whether someone like Russia or China has had a direct involvement in this rap battle issue, like by sowing a seed, or maybe deep. You know,
paying for the
maybe
beat.
Maybe paying for the beat, or maybe you know, recruiting Drake as a spy or something like that. You know, recruiting somebody directly. So you could look at it like that, or you could say they've done the work in the cultural aspect of what we are distracted by now, mm-hmm. and this is a consequence of that. Both of those ideas are fascinating in terms of
where that
ends up. And it sort of makes me think back to something that I messaged you about the other day, where I was shocked to discover a North Korean song about Kim Jong-un has become very popular on TikTok.
And they're doing dances to it, right?
And they're doing dances to it because they just see it as some like, you know, cute little like song that they don't understand the lyrics to. So they're resharing it and doing their own little dance. And of course, you know, in the background is music saying our friendly father, King John, and he's the greatest, yada, yada, yada. And that just is being spread far and wide because people don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That.
Fascinating.
Is that deliberate? But I don't know. Fascinating. It is fascinating. God, we've brought this on ourselves.
I know. It has to be deliberate. I mean, you look at what Kim Jong-un is doing with that song. And if we bring it back just down to the hip hop reference, I mean, it was very deliberate. This one person said, here's my beat. Hashtag BBL Drizzy, $10,000 for the best one. All you got to do is tag me in it.
Oh my goodness. And you know what as well? This is stuff that in days gone by in social media world, you know, we would be all over that. We'd be like, tag us in, do this, tag us in. So really, if it is deliberate, they're just using the techniques which we ourselves have invented.
Yeah.
They're shining a mirror at us and we're becoming like fried by the intensity of the heat and the sun coming from it.
And commercial brands are jumping in on this too. So it's big companies are jumping in. It's an interesting world that we are in right now. And social media does play a huge part of it. For any of you who will read the book, The New Cold Wars, it's like, it all seems like very separate individual things. Like, oh, this little thing here has nothing to do with this, but it kind of all ties in together in the ease at which we could be manipulated with a beat, with a song, with a hashtag. It doesn't matter who it's coming from. It could be on a low level in a rap battle, or it could be on a high level between a country that is looking to start some mess, you know? and we have the places like TikTok or Instagram that will feed it. and won't stop it because, you know, they're towing, you know, they're just thin line of what's free speech and things like that. But it also says a lot about us as what we are willing to consume as content, you know, what we are sitting there, we're willing to consume so much of social media, but also consume beats that we don't know what the history behind them. We will dance to songs that we don't know the words to. So it kind of says we're kind of easily manipulated in all of this when people are trying to control the narrative of what's going on. So, man, we are in an interesting world. And we didn't even get to the other stuff. We got to talk about it next week. We got to talk about the kids because the kids have a theme song. All the kids who are protesting these days, man, it's crazy.
Okay, so this is profound, deep stuff.
Yes.
And I do understand the kind of like, it sounds a bit conspiracy theory based, but I think it is fascinating because we're really talking about human behavior in our society, which, you know, is kind of what Humans Exhaust Me is about. It can't all be about, you know, dating and all the rest of it. Okay, so let's have a part two up the conversation. If you're interested, dear listener, in getting involved in the show, we've got some additional ways in which you can get involved in this conversation. So I've got to tell you, YouTube is definitely the place. So we've had some comments. We've had some people suggest topics for the show. I haven't told Felicia this yet. So we can pick that up as well. So go over to YouTube, watch the show if you're listening on the podcast as well. I've had people say that I told them to watch it and they did. Come back next time for part two of this fascinating conversation about where we are. And I'm sure we will pick up then.
We should be mean and put it in our Patreon account, shouldn't we?
Well, if it was that good.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that. We'll see. We'll see. Decide how important this content is.
Yes.
But no surreptitious like mind control from us. We're just like telling you what we see and what we hear. Mm-hmm. So
what we read.
Thank you, Felicia, for that. That's, I mean, I'm going to let you read the book. I'm going to go and buy the book. What's it called again?
The New Cold Wars. So I have to.
The New Cold Wars.
I have it here. It's going to take me like forever to bring it up. Of course, this is how this works. The New Cold Wars by David Sanger.
Right. You know, in Humans Exhaust Me Book Club, go and buy it, go and read it. No affiliate links in our link in bio.
Yeah.
All right. nice to speak to you. Enjoy the snow in the mountains.
Yeah, I will.
And we will pick up this conversation next time.
All right, see ya.